from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
McDermott said it's important to get a feel for the speed of the game this time of year.
Mike Danger.
Spirits seem high today. You've got perfect weather and you have that one last practice here before it gets real, right?
Gene Battaglia.
Normally a lighter practice. That's what I would expect tomorrow here, 2 days out from the first preseason game. So
I think they're a better football team this year than they were last year.
I'm excited about this team.
One more camp day here on campus before the team pulls up stakes, heads back to Buffalo, prepares for their preseason opener Saturday afternoon against the Chicago Bears.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We welcome you back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Bittersweet day for us here in the Sports Bar. Last day, Buffalo Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University. So we are back in the cozy confines of our High Falls studios, but had plenty of conversation and was able to take in all of this morning's session, albeit a more toned-down session for the Buffalo Bills. No pads. It didn't feel like it was a full-speed practice.
I covered so many of these. I remember Greg Williams would do like a dumb little Olympic thing with dizzy sticks and like, you know, carrying the eggs or whatever it was. I mean, okay, like we don't need to do those sort of team bonding things that you're doing at your family picnic or whatever it is. But they got some work in today. But it was a little subdued, I will say that.
Yeah, and the moving trucks were there and packed and ready to go. As soon as practice was up, they were gone. And the Buffalo Bills are now ready to head back to Orchard Park and prepare for Saturday's preseason opener against the Bears. 1 o'clock, a game you'll be able to hear on The Fan Rochester. We had the chance to catch up with the Athletics, Joe Biscaglia. He joined us earlier today. We'll have that conversation coming up for you later on this hour. We've got Happy Hour, a full recap of not just what we saw today at practice, but all of training camp as we prepare for Saturday. And plenty to react to from head coach Sean McDermott, who spoke to the media today for one last time here before practice, one last time from St. John Fisher at least, before Saturday's preseason opener. We wanted to get you that full press conference. This is Sean McDermott earlier this morning on The Fan Rochester.
Sorry, so it's been a good camp. It always is up here in the people of St. John Fisher, the Bills staff, as I mentioned at the outset of camp, have done a phenomenal job again of hosting us. The neighboring towns, Pittsford included, welcoming in so many ways to our team and our staff. And let's not forget the medical people who show up here every day to serve not only the team, but the fans, security people, police officers. It's just amazing, right? The day-to-day security that's here staff-wise to help us get across the street, in our dorms, just phenomenal. Support here, so can't thank everyone enough. And then there's a lot of people behind the scenes, you know, that sometimes the toilets tend to get a little backed up in training camp at different times, and so there's people that service those as well, and we so appreciate them also here. So I'll give you an injury update. Not much really has changed. A couple additions, if anything. So safety Mike Edwards, Cole Bishop, Nick Morrow, Chase Claypool, Ty Johnson, Travis Clayton, Eddie, Daquan Jones. We added Casey Tuhill. Casey tweaked his groin yesterday. Justin Shorter still with the knee. And then this morning, Matt Collins with a leg that is a little sore this morning. And then KJ Hamler is currently being evaluated. Not sure if he's going to go or not. All of those will not practice today. And then the majority of those will not play in the game. We'll see on Mac and his situation. The same with KJ as relates to the game. As far as the game goes, we're looking forward to playing. We kind of get to this point in training camp where, as you see, some of the skirmishes start to break out. Guys are getting a little ornery, and it's time to go against another opponent here. So we look forward to finishing today's camp and today's practice the right way, but also getting in front of our fans at home come this Saturday at 1 o'clock. So playtime-wise, I know that's what you're looking for. The ones will play. They'll play roughly a quarter, give or take. It's really, to me, it's getting them ramped up and ready to go for the season. It's an important step. Hard to simulate the speed of the game, and so getting that in preseason is important. Going through warm-ups and the energy that comes with playing a game in front of fans. And being able to manage that. So there's a lot of reasons for it. Like I said, it's just another step. So with that, I'll turn it over to you with your
that
questions.
Includes Josh. Last year, he didn't play the first. He played in the second, maybe even the third. So yeah. Do you think maybe just this week, get it done and not use him?
We'll just take it 1 week at a time, Sal. So, you know, there's a number of new faces on our offense also, including his receiving core. And so some of that is baked into this. But the biggest thing is individually we've got to get ourselves ready to go and go from there. So.
Joe Brady was pretty complimentary about Josh's game. How would you evaluate him?
Yeah, I would agree. Very focused. You know, when you look at his throws and accuracy and whatnot, he's been very accurate and sharp. There's some plays that are newer, and some time on task with the receiving core, as I mentioned, that is a new group this year. I would say that, you know, they're still working through some things, and that'll continue.
How much can you sense that the team building element of being away from camp has really translated onto the field with so many new people here as we've gone on these 2.5+ weeks?
You know, I think it's grown, John, and definitely. Coming to camp has helped facilitate it as opposed to staying at home, but I would say that needs to continue because so many new faces, as you mentioned. So it's not something that needs to end now. It needs to really continue and on into the early parts of the season.
Hey, Sean, when we talked to you day one of training camp, you mentioned how Matt Milano was going to have his load managed throughout camp, and just kind of wondering, you know, he was out there almost every day. Just where do you see him at now? Is that kind of what you were expecting, or how do you think he got through camp?
Well, camp still continues. It's just different locations, so let me just say that. With respect to Matt, it reminds me of, you know, you're around injuries where it takes a year to really get themselves back. I'm not saying it's going to take him a year, but I do think it's him getting reacclimated to moving at full speed, playing at full speed, and then trusting that he's back, right? So there's just more than a physical component that goes into it, and he's working through that, and I think every day he's gotten a little bit better. I think yesterday he had James Cook in the flat, and that's a tough... James is a tough matchup in space, and Matt did a good job there.
To keep checking in with you on the defensive play call, I think during camp I want to check. Yeah. Are you taking that into the preseason, that decision, or do you feel like a decision has been made?
Yeah, so Bobby will call the plays this weekend, and then we'll take it from there.
Bobby, tell us a little bit about just what you've seen in DeMar Hamlin and whether you feel he's ready for an opportunity to make up his way to a prominent role in safety.
Yeah, I mean, he's again, I've said this before, unique situation that very few can even relate to in terms of his situation coming off that that event that he had. And so last year, again, just kind of getting through last year and getting his confidence back maybe a little bit, and which is, again, to be expected. And then now this year, I would say a deeper focus and a deeper intentionality of a daily process, right, with playing the position, with communicating, and all that goes into playing the safety position.
So if you look at the summer that Kyrie Elam has had, the camp that he's had, going in, how has that met your expectations after what you saw in the spring and what he's been able to kind of establish with his play?
Well, we needed to, make sure that that position, whether it's the first corner, second corner, third corner, fourth corner, those are important, all important positions because of how important that position is overall as a cornerback position to us. So Kyrie right now is in that third position, and I think he's done a real nice job. Probably the biggest thing is he's been consistent, you know, listen, no one's perfect. We're all going to have things we want to work on. I know he does, but I really appreciate how consistent he's been really from the first day of training camp.
Sean, is it accurate to say that when the team split up offense and defense, you spent a little more time in training camp on the offensive field and let the defense kind of hear Bobby's voice a little bit more?
Yes. Looking, and really what I was doing was spending a little bit more time with watching the receiving core and seeing how it was taking shape, and watching Josh, of course, and then giving Bobby some space, right? He doesn't need me looking over his shoulder all the time, and, you know, he needs to know that I trust him as well, and so some of that space comes from that.
What surprised you about the wide receivers?
What do you see for KJ Hamler, both as a return man and a receiver?
Yeah, speed, that's the obvious thing that stands out the most rather early. And then, I'm making sure you're all right. Thought you were having one of these donuts back here. No, I think KJ's had a good camp. Obviously new to our team. Like I said, the speed element is real, and whether he's playing offense or the return game. So I'll be excited to see him. Hopefully he's healthy enough to play in the game this weekend.
You said you spent a lot of time watching the receivers. Has anything surprised you getting a closer look?
No, not really. I mean, I think more than anything, I like where the kind of the unselfishness is in terms of that position, you know, in terms of just... Yeah, every day, I think if you charted it, there's somebody different catching the ball. I'm talking about all through ones, twos, and threes, you know. And I think Joe and Adam and RC have done a really good job. I'm talking about Adam Henry, our receivers coach, of making sure the ball gets spread around and the quarterbacks, not just Josh, but also Shane and Mitch.
You talked about the utensil drawer earlier, not really knowing what you had with the silverware. Do you have more of an idea of what now is in that silverware drawer after 2 weeks?
Where's Joe? Was Joe the one that asked spork? Yeah, still trying to figure out who the spork is. TBD on that one. But other than that, I've got a little bit. Max said it was Keon.
Spork.
Yeah.
Dangerous yet.
I don't think I can match that one. No, they've all worked hard, and I appreciate their effort, blocking in the run game. I mean, those are some things that get overlooked at the receiver position, and you know, like, we take pride in our corners tackling and our receivers blocking.
In Terrell Bernard, year 1 to 2, have you seen that in Dorian Williams in terms of being more acclimated to what's going on and then reacting quicker like we saw last year?
Yeah, I think you see that similar growth for sure. There's a lot of growth that takes place at any position from year 1 to year 2. That first year, there's just so much thrown at these players. Off the field, on the field. I mean, they go through things that people don't even know they go through, real life things, right? And you think that they don't, but they do. And so now in his second year, it's been fun to watch Dorian get a little bit more comfortable in the defensive system. More work to do there. And so we'll see, you know, again, anxious to watch him like the others play this weekend.
Given the time Chase played for this mix, how far has he fallen behind in this whole competition?
Yeah, I mean, that's some of the new players that we added. It's a shame because, you know, they've missed a considerable amount of time, Chase being one of them. You know, we mentioned Cole, Mike, and so forth. So it's just a hard... It's hard to evaluate when the player isn't out there, whether it's Chase or anybody. And I know he's fighting like crazy to get back, and you know, we're anxious to have him back.
Sean, there's a little more of a lean in the league to go into a designated pass rusher, having that as part of the rush arsenal. Is there room for that in your defense as much as you rotate already? And could that be a role for Vaughn this year?
A designated pass rusher? Could be. Although I wouldn't sell Vaughn short. I mean, he's done some things on early downs in camp so far that I think have flashed, and you know, we'll see where it goes and how it trends. You know, we certainly need to manage him and you know, just his overall rep count in camp. And but I think he continues to trend up and up. And but some of the things he's done on early downs have been impressive, also.
What do you think on Sean? What do you think on just the role in general? Is that something that can work in your defense?
It is. Yeah. It affects other positions then, because how many. Take Vaughn out of the equation, but when you have a niche player, how many niche players can actually be on your roster and then not playing special teams? Or so it's all connected, right? And one piece affects another piece.
John, what have you observed in Vaughn during training camp that maybe you didn't see as much of during his return season in last fall?
Well, you know, I think early on it's been different because he's been able to be in training camp. If I remember correctly, he wasn't even
right
in training camp last year, able to participate. So that's definitely a big step in the right direction. And with that comes his influence, just, you know, the standard that he approaches every day with, physically, mentally, some of his leadership piece with that comes with it as well. And and so I think we're definitely ahead of where we were last year, and we'll know a lot more as we get into these weekly preseason games, and as we get closer, trend closer to the start of the season.
Sean, is there anyone, you know, whether it's a rookie veteran that's been a pleasant surprise through this point of camp or made a bigger jump than you kind of were expecting?
Veteran-wise, are you talking the guys, veterans that have been?
Anyone on the team that's just made a bigger jump than you maybe were anticipating at this point in training camp?
Well, I've really enjoyed the overall competition. I know that's a cop-out answer for you, but the overall, I mean, you guys are out there watching practice. One day the defense, quote-unquote, has a better day. The other, you know, wins the day, and the other day, the next day, the offense wins the day. And, you know, I really like what I've seen from T. Bass as he's been out there on a special team scale. I think he's in a good rhythm. You know, and getting back to in a game and kicking, taking, you know, opportunities that we can in preseason for both Sam and T-Bass will be important for us. So, I mean, you may see on some fourth downs, I decided not to go for it where I normally would, just to continue to get those guys valuable reps and time on task. And so I've been overall very pleased with the day-to-day effort. And, you know, I'm not really worried about one side of the ball versus the other in terms of it hasn't gotten out, you know, kind of off balance there in terms of who's winning, who's not. I mean, there's good competition, and I think Shavers overall, now he's just, I mentioned before, he's so darn consistent in his daily approach, and I just really appreciate he's out there playing special teams. I mean, he had one of the better reps in special teams for us the other day, so he's doing a nice job, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
I know you like to keep things in perspective with rookies, but Dwayne Carter from our side has looked like he's had a tremendous training camp. Has that been your evaluation? Is he somebody that maybe fits into that pool of taking a huge step?
I feel like the light has started to come on with him. There was a series of practices early where, you know, probably wasn't what we needed it to be, and somewhere around the scrimmage last week, give or take maybe a day before the scrimmage, and then the scrimmage, I call it the scrimmage, you know, the red and blue scrimmage there, I thought he really flashed from a that's more of what we need. And listen, he's going to play a pivotal role in that third, fourth, you know, defensive tackle spot for us, ideally. And so with that comes a lot of developments that still needs to happen. But been impressed with some of his flashes of late.
As you've watched John Smoot move in and out, are you surprised at how versatile you've been able to kind of use him this training camp?
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, he's a guy that we targeted in the free agent period there, Josh. He's a dog, man. I mean, you watch him, and this is another player that, you know, a year ago he was coming off of the Achilles, and I think probably people didn't maybe – you know, they look at the film and they're like, ah, no. But when you're coming off a major injury like that, like some of the other players that have already been mentioned, that's almost like to me a mulligan year, if you will, of just they're not really who they are capable of being. And I think he's on a mission now to prove a lot of those people that thought that wrong. And we're happy to have him and his family here, and he's been a great addition to our defense.
There's Sean McDermott earlier today before Bills practice their final practice at St. John Fisher University as Buffalo Bills training camp has wrapped up for the Rochester portion.
Yeah, there's some nuggets in there. Okay, the football stuff. You have Bobby Babbage calling plays this week.
Yep.
And then beyond that, we have McDermott saying, hey, these receivers he has on his team are unselfish. Which
yeah, is a little
indirect,
slightly veiled dig at Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I hear that, and you also hear more praise being heaped on Tyrell Shavers, but also Tyler Bass.
Yeah, that was the same kind of question there, and I thought when that question was coming his way, he's not going anywhere near this. He's got a lot of guys, I'm sure, that he would like to kind of single out, but he couldn't help himself. He saw it as an opportunity to pump the tires a little bit of Tyler Bass. And if Tyler Bass misses a kick, Danger, a kick
it's
against
a story.
The Bears. Yes, it's a story.
It's a story. Is Tyler Bass in trouble? Yeah, I think he is. I think he needs to regain that consistency that we saw earlier in his Bills career. Got a developing story happening over here at Paris?
8:06 remaining, and it's Serbia leading the United States in men's basketball 78-67. 15 three-pointers for Serbia in this game. And as Tristan Cricket's pointed out, the body language for the U.S. just bad.
It's just bad. I mean, yeah. You can tell there's one team that wants it, there's another team that doesn't. I mean, like, you can, when you watch anything competitive, a lot of times somebody is juiced and ready for it, and the other team or the other competitor is just kind of like dejected. And right now, Team USA, they look like they've had their heart ripped out of them.
It will be the winner of this game faces France, Victor Wembanyama, and France defeating today Germany.
Well, we'll keep you updated on what goes on at Paris here with the semifinal in the men's basketball tournament continuing here with Team USA down to Serbia here with 7:19 left. In the fourth quarter. We're going to take a break and come back with our conversation from earlier today. The Athletics' Joe Biscaglia makes his return into the sports bar. It's been far too long since Joe B stopped in, and we love his insight and his thoughts on Buffalo Bills training camp, Buffalo Bills football. We will talk to Joe B next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM. And AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. We're live from the final day of Buffalo Bills training camp at St. John Fisher College. The moving trucks are in sight, and so is the Athletics' Joe Biscaglia, who makes his return into the Sports Bar. Buddy, it's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys, too. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Joe, camp wrapping up here. Biggest takeaways here for the Buffalo Bills, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's just overall a lot more fresh than it has been the last few years, and I think that comes with roster turnover, and it's honestly a pretty good thing for NFL teams to do every once in a while. Like, you can have the same roster going in and out with just like micro changes like the Bills have had, and you can have a certain degree of success, but sometimes things grow a little bit stale and you want to try to get those little bit of a different feel to what you're doing, and I think the Bills have that. Are they going to be better immediately? Maybe not, but it's on their way to where they are pushing forward, getting a little bit younger on their roster, resetting it a little bit, and while still trying to be this competitive team that can go to the playoffs and push for something.
So the turnover that you're talking about, and we'll bring this up because it's happened in the last 24 hours, Stephon Diggs' name has been mentioned, and this is a big deal. And Josh Allen says he doesn't necessarily miss it, but of course you miss it. And Sean McDermott today, during his time, saying he likes the unselfishness that they have in the wide receiving room right now. Are you buying into the everybody can eat philosophy that it seems like they have? Because it feels like that's a Sean McDermott thing, that Sean McDermott would much rather have his kind of guys in here playing unselfish football rather than have a guy who is an extraordinary talent, Stephon Diggs, who might have been a little bit of a headache to deal with from time to time.
Well, I think the one of the many things that NFL coach in sports in general like to do from one year to the next is do the complete opposite of the thing that they just did for however many years it was. And in this case, it's where maybe they had centralized targets and had the same two or three guys playing on the field at all times. Like, the snap counts were crazy in favor of Diggs, Davis, and then eventually Khalil Shakir last year. I think what they want to do this year is just to have like more of like a rotation amongst the top four, maybe five, probably the top four, and you know, just try and have a different approach that way. But my main thing is, okay, I want to see what their decisions are with that group when this is not a fresh new idea. Like, do they only take a one-year stance like this, and then in 2025 they take a big swing at a wide receiver again, right? Which I think is very much within the realm of possibilities, because Brandon Bean has always been a very pro, I like to have a top receiver target on my roster type of guy. So I think it's a bit of a to be continued. Like, is this the receiver room before the receiver room is complete? But they're going to figure things out and see what sticks. And the thing I'm a big NBA guy, so the thing I kind of like to liken it to is like how the Oklahoma City Thunder approached this past season, where they just had a bunch of young guys, a bunch of things that they didn't know how it would kind of coalesce together. Mm-hmm. And once they found out, then they knew what to approach in the offseason this past year. I won't get too deep into the NBA weeds, but now I think that you can liken that to what the Bills receiver room is doing and having all of these different skill sets, all of these different guys, all of these different personalities to see who can be potentially a starter, and if they do have a number one on the roster. I'm not convinced they do, but they're going to find out.
Well, I'll take it from this standpoint where Diggs is not on the roster. I always felt when it came to the leadership in the offense, yes, it's always been Josh Allen, but he had to kind of defer to Diggs in a way. What do you think this looks like, Josh Allen, the leader now moving forward?
Yeah, I think for him, it's just going to have more command of the offense and really getting the most out of his players, because, you know, you can say what you will about what happened or didn't happen with Stephon Diggs last year, but there is a talent disparity at the receiver position from what they had last year, and that is a very real thing. So now it's to a point where you have to figure out, can Allen be the guy to elevate the talents that these and the skill sets that these guys have? Can he get them to be a better version of what they currently are? And that's where the leadership, I think, has to come through. All the talking and all of the he's got that nailed. Everybody in the locker room loves the guy. So now it's just a matter of helping guys become the best versions of themselves, and if he can do that with a receiver room that, quite frankly, has a lot of questions right now. I mean, your top four has Shakir, who I think is a really nice receiver. He's going to be their main slot guy. Curtis Samuel, who has been mostly a wide receiver four throughout his career. Mac Hollins, who has been a veteran journeyman. And he's going to be getting a bunch of time. And then Keon Coleman, the rookie, who hasn't had much more than 50 yards a game in his college career. So what exactly do you have here? And can Allen get the most out of that group?
It'll be interesting to see. I also look at safety and think, all right, this hasn't really gone to their plan, I don't think. You know, if you felt strongly about DeMar Hamlin as a starter, you wouldn't have drafted Cole Bishop in the second round. You got the injuries. Hamlin in the preseason, I think, is going to be fun to watch to see, you know, like, he's a good football player. But is he there week one? How do you think this all plays out? And I know a lot of it has to do with the injuries, but yeah. I bring it up because I think that there might be some roster gymnastics with IR at the safety position that might free up an extra roster spot. How does it all look to you, Joe?
Yeah, dead on. I think the safety spot has just been a bit of a mess, honestly. Like, they came into this camp, and I had legitimate wonders if DeMar Hamlin would even make the team based on what they had.
Same.
Because Cam Lewis is still someone that factors into the equation. Then Cole Bishop, the rookie, is obviously someone that they would like to see excel. And then Mike Edwards, who they brought in from Kansas City. But Edwards and Bishop are both week-to-week with long-term injuries from a camp perspective. And it's been all Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin. Now, say what you will about Taylor Rapp's season, which I don't think was particularly the best last year. Hamlin is inexperienced and mostly played a lot of strong safety in his time when he was on the field. So now he's basically taking up the free safety spot. And you have to wonder about his range and ability to cover those deep areas. So I think this is very much a to be continued. I think if they had their druthers that Cole Bishop would be the guy and be healthy, but that's just not the case. So I would not rule out them making a move at safety. I think there is potential for that. I think there is a guy out there that has lots of experience in the Bill system that has not yet declared his retirement.
It's number 23.
And they have not issued that number for all the defensive backs.
Probably doesn't like training camp at this point in his career either.
He says he used to say he loves training camp, but yeah, he's a super competitive guy, and the closer we get to the regular season, it just makes you wonder if he's going to be like, all right, let's do one more. And that being Micah Hyde, we haven't said his name, but we'll see. And if he walks in and is able to kind of bridge the gap from what they have currently to Cole Bishop, whether it be at the end of 2024 or 2025 and beyond, I think that would be a good situation for them.
Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic, our guest here, staying in the defensive backfield. I think this is one of the interesting stories this camp. Kyer Elam, can you talk about his career arc? Because this isn't typical. And what we saw in this camp, Joe, is it real here? Can he really be corner three or maybe even more?
Yeah, I think for him, they just want to see if he can potentially be the starter in 2025. That would be my gauge on it, because Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, I don't think they're going anywhere. They have Douglas, who is the take risks and create turnovers guy. Benford is very much the steady hand, where he's going to keep everything in front of him, but also be sticky in coverage on these routes of some guys who are better athletes than him, quite frankly. So Elam, him taking a step forward this camp was huge. Because now it gives them the potential to where they go, okay, let's see how he develops. He will undoubtedly get time on the field at some point this year, because injuries happen to corners all the time. They have been snake bitten at corner with injuries throughout their tenure since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have come around. So I would, once he gets those opportunities, what he can do with them, that will speak volumes as to whether or not we're sitting here in May, or I'm sorry, sitting here in March and April, as to whether or not cornerback needs to be something that they address, whether or not they need to re-sign Rasul Douglas, or should they draft one. If he answers that bell, then we could very easily be seeing Kyer Elam being the risk-taking cornerback, starting opposite from Christian Benford, and then seeing what they have from there.
Joe, let's share our biggest concerns for the Buffalo Bills heading into the season. I'll start. Gino, you can think about this as well.
Yep.
I'm concerned that James Cook has a ball security issue, that he's not got the greatest hands. We saw some of it last year. We saw some of it at camp. He makes some really, really special plays, but I'm worried that he's the guy that other teams are going to key on in terms of that's our target to get turnovers and win football games. What's your biggest concern about this team heading into the season?
Undoubtedly the safety position. I know we just touched on it, but
yeah.
I don't know that people are quite aware of how much there is a drop off from what they had last year and the previous years. And last year was their worst year at safety, not including the year that both Poyer and Hyde got banged up. Poyer and Hyde definitely both took a step back. I think Poyer took more of a step back than Hyde did last year. But the difference between even them to what they got from Taylor Rapp was pretty substantial. And then from there, you know, Damar Hamlin, who's an unknown at this point, if he has to start. And Cole Bishop, if he has to start, he's a rookie. Mike Edwards, who has, I don't know, maybe a handful of practices to right now. I think it's a legitimate concern. And there's a lot of good offenses they're going to be going up against early. And if they don't have that back end sewed up, then that could be a problem area.
I'm going to give you mine, and again, it's not number one, because I would say certainly the safeties are a concern. But Sean McDermott today, you were there, asked the question, hey, which rookie or veteran has impressed you, in paraphrasing, and he begins the answer saying, I'm going to give you a cop-out answer, okay, and then he pivots and throws out a name I would not expect, Tyler Bass, almost as if the pump is tires a little bit. Do we have a kicking problem, Joe?
I think the preseason is going to be big for him to boost that confidence. When he was in that stadium practice, he missed a one pretty badly where they had to rush out on the field and everything like that. And then he missed a couple yesterday. It was here at camp. I'm not, I don't want to take a 3-week sample and be like, okay, he's a problem. But he definitely had his worst year so far last year. And you just want to make sure that your kicker has that confidence, especially because he's signed for the next 3 years. They can get out of it at some point before the full 3 years is done. But this is someone that they invested in, and they want that return on investment. So, yeah, if it takes some pumping of the tires from time to time from Sean McDermott, it's not as though he's been horrible and just missing everything left and right. But he used to be just this automatic guy. That's the reason they re-signed him. They're like, okay, we have one of the best kickers in the league right now, and last year he was not that.
Another guy that McDermott brought up in his morning press conference, he brought him up earlier in camp as well, is Tyrell Shavers. We struggle with this. I mean, he's been visible on the field, and he's made plays, and I'm sure we'll see plenty of him in the preseason, but I have a hard time seeing his path to the final 53, and if he's on the practice squad, is there any team out there looking at Tyrell Shavers saying, oh, that's a guy we need to add to our roster? I don't know the answer to that, but I venture to guess no. talk about the wide receiver competition because it's gotten the most eyeballs, and I think we've spent the most time talking about it through this camp, because if they only roster five like they did last year, there's going to be some notable names on the outside looking in.
Yeah, for sure. I think the team that you might be alluding to might be the Buffalo Bills, honestly. I think they really like Tyrell Shavers. He is a multi-use receiver. I've seen him play all three spots. They really like what he does on special teams, that being a gunner. And he can chip in on some other units as well. I think he's got a legit shot to make it. He has definitely outplayed Justin Shorter to me. And they both came in the league at the same time. Justin Shorter made the team outright before they threw him on IR.
Yeah.
So he's someone that also hasn't been able to get on the field. Chase Claypool has not been on the field since, what, July 28th, I think it is?
Yeah.
And that's significantly hurting his chances. KJ Hamler, I think, needs to win the return job to get a spot. And even for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, I think he's pretty firmly in. But still, if they keep six, I think that sixth person we need to have a legitimate special teams function, which they just didn't have last year at the receiver position. So that Shavers has that. And if they have been crushed by the waiver wire before, and if they really like someone, they're not going to try and sneak them. So I would not be surprised if Shavers is on the right side of the bubble.
Yeah. Is there any particular player, young, that has caught your eye? Carter being the third round pick being one, yeah, certainly, that it looks like he's made this team, Joe.
Oh, yeah. He'll be one of the two rotational defensive tackles. So he's in. I really like what Daquan Hardy has done so far at this camp, and they build him as maybe just a return specialist when they took him in the sixth round. And he has, done that part of the job. But what he's done on defense specifically has really been more impressive to me, because they looked at him as maybe starting off as a nickel, and he did that early on in camp, was with the third team. Then eventually started working with the second team defense. Then, midway through camp, they gave him a new assignment. Okay, let's see what you can do on the boundary. And he's continued to go between the boundary and the interior, and while still balancing all of this. So if he can do those three things well, that's a multi-use player. And that, to me, is worthy of a roster spot. So he's someone that's caught my eye. I think Javon Solomon, the defensive end from Troy, the fifth-round pick, has been really good, too. Really some great flashes as a pass rusher. Still has to, have that overall rounded game. But when you have some pass rushing juice, the Bills are going to get excited about you. It's the reason Kingsley Jonathan has been here for a couple of years. And Javon Solomon, I think, has that, and they have reason to be excited about him.
Joe, we're going to see the starters for about a quarter on Saturday for the preseason opener. What are we looking to take away from the game on Saturday?
Just don't get hurt.
That's it?
I'm not a big play your starters in the preseason guy, but, I think them trying to see the functionality the offense has is probably important to them. Maybe how the offense performed a couple of days ago might have influenced their decision, because last year they did not play in the first preseason game. But the number one responsibility is to make sure that the franchise quarterback does not get hurt and to not call plays to where he could get hurt. So, that's going to be a to-be-determined.
Babich calling the defense anything?
Yeah, I mean that's substantial. It's the first shot we've seen at it, and they didn't have commit to anything past that. But all along, he had opportunities to go elsewhere. It always leaned in the way to where Sean is probably going to let Bobby Babich call the plays, because this is a guy, young, bright mind. I've always been of the belief, and Bobby Babich, to me, as soon as I saw him, how he operated in practice, I'm like, oh, Sean probably sees a little bit of himself in Bobby Babich, because similar trajectories from where they were. And you also have to see how he moved him around the staff, too, which was pretty in line with how Sean did in Philadelphia, too. So it was someone gave Sean a shot, and I think he's doing the same for Bobby Babich. So I would not be surprised if this is just the beginning of what is to come through the regular season, too.
Joe Biscaglia, The Athletic. Tell our listeners what you got coming up here, you and the great staff over there, The Athletic.
Yeah, I have my camp debrief, which talked about some of the players we touched on today, some of them that did not. And then, as always, daily stuff from me from camp or practices, and way too nerdy stuff too. So
we're back on X too. We can follow along.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. At at Joe Biscaglia, there's a silent G in there, which I'm sorry for, but yeah, it's a. I'm on there, and I'm just giving you all the Bills updates whenever I can.
Joe, thank you for making time for us. We know how busy your schedule is. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great to me.
Joe B. making his return into the sports bar. Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic stopping by the sports bar on set there at St. John Fisher University earlier today, right after Buffalo Bills practice, their final practice in Rochester.
We got to shift gears here and just talk about what happened at the Olympics. The United States men's basketball team, down by 17, they survive over Serbia. 95-91 ended up being the final. U.S. doesn't take the lead until the final 3 minutes of the game. Danger. This was way too close for comfort today.
Yeah, it almost feels like they woke up just in time to snatch that win from Serbia, that they played with a different level of intensity down the stretch there with like less than 5 minutes to go. There was just a different level of intensity because prior to that, they looked like they had their souls sucked out of them by just a physical, big, you know, just shooting the lights out Serbian team. And you know, Jokic, much like I think he does with the Nuggets, made his teammates around him better throughout the course of this Olympic tournament. He's still the real deal and kind of scoring at will for that Serbian team.
Yeah, and I'm a big critic of Kevin Durant. He pulled him out today.
He hit a clutch shot. Steph was unbelievable. Unbelievable stat line for Steph. And LeBron, LeBron was a killer when he needed to be a killer as well. So everybody's stepping up there late. The U.S. get the victory over Serbia. They will advance to the gold medal match against France. And, you know, for Serbia, win is bronze medal game.
You said after the Lakers win, you said you were surprised that you didn't feel more. So I'm curious what you are feeling right now and if you're looking forward to a parade coming up in Denver.
When is parade? Yes. When is parade?
When is bronze
Thursday.
Medal?
No. I need to go home. Okay.
When is bronze medal ceremony?
No. Bronze medal game?
No. No. I need to go home. Jokic is the best. Love that guy.
You wonder, like, was that the pep talk that, you know, Steve Kerr gave? Hey, guys, if we lose this game, we still have another game. We would have to play the bronze medal game, yes. So we might as well win here.
You're not going home. That nice to see them advance, albeit, you know, a little too close for comfort there for Team USA. We come back with Happy Hour next in the sports bar. More coverage from today's practice. We'll recap everything that went on, not just on the field, but off. Sean McDermott laying out the groundwork for the plan for Saturday's preseason opener against Chicago. Lots to react to there. Our coverage of Buffalo Bills training camp is brought to you by Ace Swim and Leisure, Chilai Ave, Ridge Road, and Webster, aceswim.com, and Maddie's Motorsports with locations in Farmington, Spencerport, and Dansville, maddiesmotorsports.com.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.